park planning block. Well, that's not okay. We are having petitioners appear before us. Tonight, there are no public hearings. If someone in the audience has a question for a member of the board, they're welcome to come up after the meeting and discuss that. But that won't be part of the board business at the time. So we have two notices. The first notice is that fire safety is important, and should the fire alarm sound, you will see a number of doors that have illuminated exit signs above them. If you leave by any of those doors, you will then see another illuminated exit sign that will take you outside the building and shake you. If the fire's in the building, if it's outside the building, that would be another problem. We also have an ethics, factor here, and that is if anyone appearing before the board has a family, financial, or business relationship with any member of the board, it is incumbent upon that person to make the relationship under state law and the town code of ethics. So with that, we'll begin our regular business. And item number one is Planning Board 41-2023, 3892 Southwestern Boulevard, and I'm Jack Kugler. Jack, you've been before us. Grab a chair, sign in. Say who you are, where you're from, so we have both the written and a recorded record.
Jack Kugler, 6500 East Eden Road, Hamburg.
And you're here, I guess, for the fourth time?
Yes.
Right. And this time there seems to be a little difference between what you've been here before in terms of having 14 units.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little about it? Give us some idea where they are.
So basically, we subcontract our lot to Heritage Structures, which is an Amish company, and they've been with us for about 6 of the 8 years. They've requested a larger footprint. As their company grows, and so does their styles of the structures, and they're getting into some gazebos and some things, so they would like to have a greater presence there, two additional sheds. The lot would probably be another 180 to 240 square feet of building combined. And this inventory fluctuates, so sometimes there's only 8 there, but in peak season, they would like to have as many as 14. Towards the end of the season, sometimes they're empty by October.
The sales office is not one of the 14, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
It is or
it isn't? It is.
Okay. Let me canvass the board and we'll see if there are any about this.
No questions.
No questions.
This has been before us before, and it's always well done there. We don't have any problems. There's plenty of room, I think, for the addition, too, without a problem. So I don't know.
Other than the sales office being one of the 14, that's all.
Nothing to add or questions.
I'll make the motion. Regarding Planning Board File 41-23, I move to grant the outside display for 2 years from April 1 through November 30th, 2024, and April 1 through November 30th, 2025, at 3892 Southwestern Boulevard, based on the sketch plan received on 12-7-23 for 14 sheds, an increase of 2 from the previous approval, and the following stipulations are to apply. Number one, this is a type 2 CEQA action, therefore no CEQA determination is required. Number two, there will be no additional outside lighting for the display or temporary structure. Number three, there will be no banners or additional signage for this facility. However, the applicant may place a temporary 4-foot by 8-foot Orseo sign upon receiving approval from the building inspector. This signage will be displayed concurrently with the sheds. Number four, the sheds will be on display from April 1, 2024 to November 30th, 2024 and April 1, 2025 to November 30th, 2025. One shed of glass office will remain on the site year-round.
Offer second.
Okay, motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the question? There will be no discussion on the question. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed by saying nay. There being no nays and only ayes heard. Motion is carried. Congratulations to the law.
Thank you. Go Bills.
You should use that property for a parking lot.
With our second printed item being removed from the agenda, we now move to Public Safety Ministry. And with that, Dan was having to essentially repeat the process. While the initial landscape plan was approved by the Conservation Board, in its second submission, in its second round, more trees were added, but there was no quorum at the Conservation Board meeting. So while those present supported the plan, without a quorum being present, I believe we're in a position where we need to table until we hear from the Conservation Board.
And refer the matter back to the Conservation Board.
Absolutely.
Hal.
I'm going to refer it back to the Conservation Board.
Hal? Hal?
Second.
Our attorney is present if you need him for any advice. He works with John Bailey, Michael Perley.
Would you like me to address?
Just
refer back to the Conservation Board.
Yeah.
So, members of the Planning Board, shall I sign in?
Or at least tell us your name.
Michael Perley. I am attorney for the town of Orchard Park and its related entities in connection with litigation that arose out of this matter in the first instance. So, if you're reviewing the matter, since there was not a quorum of the Conservation Board, and since we anticipate that there will be additional litigation afterwards, we want to make sure that all I's are dotted, all T's are crossed. And so we respectfully ask on my recommendation to you is to refer back to the Planning Board and let them consider the meeting that if you need a quorum, and then it will be returned to the Planning Board for this consideration.
Okay. I believe that's on the board. Motion.
Just for clarification, you said refer back to the Planning Board, but you mean refer back to
the Conservation Board, who will then
ensure that they have a quorum. And I think the other motion was made and seconded, just as a point of order.
Sure. So, with that, motion made and seconded, those in favor of tabling, referring back to Conservation, and waiting for a approval or disapproval by a quorum. Those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those against, say nay.
Thank you, General.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Providence Farms, 57 Owen Burton Road.
Seeing everybody again.
It appears our issues with, safe potable water and septic systems and all that, kind of making way out of the way that our town engineering department is convinced of their complete safety in that regard.
Yes.
And any thoughts before we proceed?
No, Jim Bamel's my name, but please proceed, that's great.
Only that this is consistent with the actual town code 63, which is the right to farm provision. This actually enhances, so we would respectfully request approval, certainly if there are any questions, but approval, and if possible, to actually waive town board approval because it's actually consistent with section 63 of your town code. No further approval would be required. So we requested that consider both the preliminary and a final approval tonight, if possible. If not, we understand that we have to go to the town board. We just respectfully request that be expedited so we can do it at the next town board meeting, which is, I believe, on Wednesday the 17th, and that we have missed any deadlines for submitting it to the town board.
I'll inquire.
Mr. White, I respectfully disagree with you. I think the town board is the only entity in the town that has the authority to waive a building. Put it on the recommendation either yea or nay by the.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I certainly believe, based on the recommendation, that could be answered. We're happy to see this finally coming to a conclusion that we think the proper response is a really laudable kind of thing to have here in the management. And we've got to help with that. Folks on the board to offer any thoughts before we go ahead with the motion. Alex?
I don't have any further consideration.
No questions.
No questions.
Second.
Okay. I'll make a motion. That's all right. Regarding planning board file 34-2023, I move to recommend that the town board approve the presented site plan and authorize a building permit to construct a 6,000 square foot pole barn per the plan received on 11-8-2023 based on the following conditions and stipulations. Number one, all public notices have been filed. Number two, the type of action secret document is not necessary. Number three, the site lighting is limited to those fixtures and poles indicated on the approved site plan. Light fixtures shall have flat lenses and all lighting is to be directed downward and toward the site. Number four, no outside storage or display is permitted. Number five, conservation board approval has been waived for this farming community. And number six, engineering approval has been granted on 1/11/2024.
There is a second.
Second. Motion in the second. Any discussion on the question? There being none, those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. There being all ayes, nays, and one. And Mr. Orpian, can this go expeditiously to the town board?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Can you have it there at their next meeting.
Thank you. I appreciate your presence in town.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next regular business item is planning board file 3920 Southwestern Boulevard, LLC. And the site is 3552 Southwestern Boulevard, which is on the northwest side of Southwestern, south of Milesville. The zone B2, the applicant is requesting planning board approval of the submitted site plan and consequently the town board referral to the planning board on the second. So I would guess if there's someone here who doesn't invite it.
Yeah, there is. So we need to share with the Michigan members of the planning board. Sean Hopkins up here on behalf of Wester, also with Jim Malka and Andy Gow. As the board will recall, this project came in front of you during your meeting on December 14th. There were some issues raised about an unrelated project. Subsequent to that, we did provide confirmation that the approvals were obtained for that project with knowledge of the town. So what we're here for this evening is the proposed corporate office expansion that depicted on the site plan that was previously filed. One note, because of that month delay, we still do have some engineering department comments that need to be addressed, but respectfully, we would ask you to approve the site plan subject to conditions. We understand that obviously we need to satisfy the engineering department, and we have full intention of doing so, but that will allow us to avoid the intermediate step, which would be to come back here. I don't know if there's anything else Andy or Jay wanted to add.
Now, basically, with the project, I'm not sure how far along we got the last meeting, but it is a 3,000 square foot addition, two-story addition.
On the back.
On the back side of the existing building. The exterior finishes are a combination of drive-it and pebble material, smooth metallic finish. Fully engineered plans, including a stormwater report and EAF, has been submitted to the town for review back in November. We received a comment letter from the engineering department that Sean mentioned on January 5th. We haven't had fully enough time to address those comments yet, but we're in the process of doing so and expect to have those back very shortly, addressing the drainage. And basically what that amounts to is that with the concern that was brought up at the last meeting with regard to the site next door, we are oversizing the detention basin on this site in order to accommodate for what we're letting go on the other site. And we spoke with the engineering department about that approach, and
we're going to call on them in a second. Firstly, this addition is essentially being placed on impervious surface.
Correct.
Okay. And secondly, this addition will not encroach into parking requirements.
No. In addition to that, we had submitted a site plan years ago for just a parking lot that was a larger footprint than this project. So the footprint of the project that you had previously approved has been shrunken, and with the addition, we have less parking spaces, less footprint, less impervious surface, less pervious surface, I should say.
And what's driving the whole project is, I think it's fortunate for the county and much Northwest Herb is growing, they need additional space.
Cars are coming in. A lot was beginning to fill out with new cars.
We've all heard this. And again, I think the most important point, and Andy, thanks for reiterating, we want to appreciate the engineering department. You know, there's some concerns about the previous project, although it was approved. You know, we will account for those concerns if we made that.
Charles
Cameron. Yes. That is correct.
Any other comments?
No, they said I don't.
Not a question, but a comment. I know last month that the representative from Wester, were almost perhaps right this whole little taken aback and maybe misunderstood the need to accommodate the what I refer to as an administrative mistake on prior approval. I appreciate your cooperation working with our engineering department and correcting that mistake so that we get to the point that we're at. So I say thank you.
You're welcome.
Does anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. Regarding the planning board file 32-2023, I move to recommend that the town board approve the site plan approval and grant a building permit for the purpose of constructing a 3,040 square foot two-story building addition in the Stanley Wester parking lot at 3552 Southwest End Boulevard based on the following conditions and stipulations. Number one, all public notices have been filed. Two, the applicant merged the parcel with the adjacent parcel and is now known as 3552 Southwestern Boulevard. Number three, acreage fees were paid in accordance with section 144, attachment C, schedule of zoning fees of the town code. Number four, this is an unlisted seeker action based on the short EAF submitted on 11/2023, and a negative declaration is made. Number five, the site lighting is limited to those fixtures and poles indicated on the approved site plan. Light fixtures shall have flat lenses, and all lighting is to be directed downward and toward the site. Number six, no outside storage or display is permitted. Number seven, the landscape plan received on 11/2023 meet all green space regulations in accordance with section 144-44C1A2, and a certified check amounting to 50% of the $12,745 landscaping estimate value shall be deposited with the town clerk. That amounts to $6,372.50. Conservation Board approval was granted on 8/1/23. Number eight, any future dumpster shall be screened in accordance with section 144-25 of the town code. Number seven, the applicant is to provide the town of Borch Park assessor with an independent appraisal for the completed project by a certified commercial appraiser. Number eight, this approval is contingent upon a town engineering approval.
Can I ask a question about the merger condition? I just didn't hear it. We just want to make sure we understand the condition.
I think they've already completed the merger.
This parcel has not been merged. The contiguous parcels were merged. Nissan dealership?
Yeah, so that back parking lot was merged with Nissan, not with this property.
Oh, okay. You want me to, I can rewrite that stipulation to reflect that.
Yeah, I just don't think we need that condition right here, is what I'm suggesting,
okay.
I think.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, I would accept a friendly amendment to my motion.
I'll offer a second. Friendly amendment.
Is there any discussion on the cost? It's good that everything has been cleared out with the previous issue and everything. And so, with that, all in favor of the amended motion, please indicate so by saying aye.
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 Opposed by saying nay. There being only ayes here, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see cars are coming back on the lot. Thank you very much. Our next regular business item is planning board file 2023. That's Maple Grove Apartments at 4038 California Road on the west side of California Road, zone R2. I had a question on that. Zoning.
Apex
Trail. This is a proposed residential community. Anyway, I just found out this is a park. Is that totally correct? R2?
Can you speak up? I missed it.
Is R2 the correct zoning? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, while he's looking down, I'm curious what you just said. Item 5, I don't remember.
Are the numbers
done? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Mr. Roman, that's what you're here to turn it on.
Yes.
Would you prefer we wait a couple minutes, or would you like to...
We're waiting right now.
All right, Lori's already ready.
Moving faster.
So don't screw it up, Sean.
I know, thank you. So just because, remember, we were here during your meeting on December 14th, and again, Sean Hopkins, on behalf of the applicant, also with me are Andy and Eric Romanowski, and the applicant entity here is Maple Grove Holdings LLC. As you recall, we were at the end of your agenda on December 14th, and you had a large contingency here, so we did walk through the presentation. We've updated it to some degree. What we're asking you to do tonight is two things. And this project does require site plan approval. Randy, thank you very much for clarifying that because it's multifamily, the planning board ultimately has jurisdiction to issue the decision. What we're asking you to do this evening, based on the concept plan and supporting documentation that we filed way back on June 15th, is two things. Simply commence the environmental review pursuant to the State Environmental Quality Review Act. I think we can all agree that's a good idea. That will allow you to receive input from a wide assortment of involved interested agencies, how that will work in the coordinated review. Each of those agencies will then have 30 days to respond. I fully anticipate, we discussed this at a meeting last month, that as the planning board with ultimate decision making relative to this project, you would expect you would like to meet with the agency. And we're of course fine with that. And then secondly, there was a concern raised, or at least a question raised, relative to the allowable density on this particular project site. We did submit subsequently a letter that addressed that comment in great detail. And simply put, our position is that the allowable density with respect to this particular project site located at 4038 California Road is 11 units per acre. We did cite the reasons why, but I will summarize very quickly. So if you look at the, oh, go ahead.
It could be brief. You know, we had that issue researched, and we've come to a different...
Well, that's why I think we're... Yeah, I think that's why we want to discuss it. So our position relies on Attachment 15 of the Zoning Code, which basically states that in this instance, as long as you're not proposing to subdivide or you're not involved with a parcel that's smaller or different than it was as of the cutoff date, which is December 6th of 1989, the allowable density is 11 units per acre, and that's per the relevant attachment contained in the zoning code. And any project that results in, that is as a result of a subdivision or parcel created after that date, then of course would be subject to the reduced density. We did provide a copy of the title search, clear as day. There have been absolutely no subdivisions of this site, any changes in the configuration of the boundaries of the project site since that time, not only all the way back to December 6th of 1989, but way back before that. I understand, Chairman Kravinsky, that the town may have a different position. That's why we're here. We'd like to discuss that, because obviously that's an important point or important kernel that we need to address in connection with the project as we move forward. Okay. Our density, by way of comparison, just want to make sure it's clear, is 8.91 units per acre versus what we believe the allowable density is 11 units.
I will call on our two experts in that area. Mr. Meyer has done a great deal of research, and Mr. Bailey has a legal view on that. I will ask.
Tell one to you. When I had researched, our tax assessor's files had shown a note inside this address saying that it was taken from a larger parcel and was on, it's been split. And under Attachment 15, it's saying that if you do not have a concept review prior to that date of 1289, then you would be subject to that particular 144-15 and not one of the existing prior to that date. We have another one that's not on the internet, which I could supply for you. And then the one on the internet is the most recent one, and that footnote resembles that pretty close as well. That it had to have some kind of concept approval.
approval before the 9 days. That's usually how we judge them as they come into the office.
What you got?
I would conclude with Mr. Mander's opinion and make the other observation. Given your reading, virtually any other property was not, that is now already subdivided, wasn't subdivided before 1989, would not be subject to the present project.
Yeah, I mean, if you actually look at the language where it says, and this is just one of the sentences, the supplement, height, lot, yard, and bulk regulations shall apply to any subdivision lot for which a pre-application plan is submitted subsequent to the date of the adoption of the schedule. Again, this is still the exact same parcel that existed.
I believe we have to go with the advice of our,
but I'm just trying to clarify our
resource folks here, and I think at this point, you know, we have to ask that either you submit a compliant plan or go to the ZBA.
Is there any way we can get a written response that just at least we can understand the position? And better be done, I want to take up the whole board's time on it.
I'm not anticipating litigation, so it's not necessary.
I just want to make a comment. You know, this 35 years ago,
yes, yes.
This town decided that they needed to look at how these projects were going to be concluded, and they obviously expanded that there would be less density for the benefit of the community, which is a quality of life issue. Also, the utilities and everything that fits into that. And I would just hope that as a group who works with this town on a regular basis, you would appreciate the fact that 35 years ago, this board or some affiliate board of this decided to look at it and said, we got to deal with the density issue and spread things out a little bit. So I guess it's my hope that when you look at it, you do what's best for the community. I understand you're in it for the profit, but we're in it for the community.
So well, I want to make clear, I think it's beyond the scope of tonight's discussion. It's not based on the profit. We did it based on the codes. We may have a different understanding, but it wasn't. You know, yeah. We review codes for a living.
What we're looking is for you to look at the spirit of the law.
Very well.
Howard?
No comment.
I have no comment.
Nothing additional.
So at this point, I will move that we table this one until we receive either a compliant plan or a variance from the Zoning Board of Appeals.
I would second it.
I'm the question. I would suggest for referral.
That's correct.
We'll adjourn this matter until.
Okay. We'll adjourn the matter.
As opposed to tabling it until we hear from the ZBA or get through one.
Thank you.
I might want to demand it now.
Is there any discussion on the cross section? There being none, those in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. There being only ayes heard, motion is carried. I'm sure we'll see you again. And I hope you listen, you know, to Mr. Taylor's comment. I will make sure they consider it. So, thank you for coming. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, the very last person, pardon me, sir. I deeply apologize for the
Lord.
For the little delay here, but I hope you can give me an opportunity to see
yes.
What I'm going to do.
3 minutes here, and then I'll come to you.
At any rate, essentially, this is planning board file 4323 and 3590 South Central Boulevard. Apex Energy is requesting to install electrical vehicle chargers at Ray Light Common. And tell us a little bit about this. This is a whole new.
Yes, so these are. Strictly for dealership use, it's come straight from Honda. They have certain requirements for
future electric vehicles. We're installing one level two charger. They have one existing, and then we're installing one DC fast charger as well. Strictly for dealership use, there's going to be no, you know, disturbance outside of the property, no traffic infringements and anything like that.
Where are you going to put them? Has your staff decided yet?
Yes, I have plans here if you guys would like to see as well, but there's already have one right in the parking lot. We're going right next to it, servicing two parking areas, and then the DC fast charger, there's a utility pole that feeds the property. We're putting in a new service for the DC fast charger, and the charger's going right next to that utility pole.
And if a customer came in, he couldn't hook up?
Correct, yes, just for the dealership cars and their use, yep.
And by dealership, you mean cars to the property is the actual?
Yes.
Tuazas is a very new area.
Yeah.
We've had our building inspector look into this, and I know he's come up with a state code, standard guideline, and
Now, I already received your packet prior to this thing, we recommend your board. So the only thing I would say on that building permit that we probably can still require is the specs on the actual item, just to make sure they produce the state codes for UL listing.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the other thing was the state comes up and says you don't have to put them in a handicap zone, but they have to be handicap accessible for people who go to them. Just a brief detail on that, the particular thing for the 140 day rec comp. That's something
very easily. These aren't going to have any financial ability for people to actually charge and be charged for, correct? I don't believe so. It's strictly for, I think, their service department while they're working on electric vehicles and they have customer vehicles, they can use them to charge. If someone's coming, you know, to get some work done, they can enable the full charge. I don't believe it's going to be pay for use for the public because they don't want kind of the extra traffic when the parking lot is, you know, pretty full as it is.
Just a question, what is the distribution in the area of, outside accessible customer charging stations? Because they were beginning to see electric cars.
As far as this area, we're not too familiar with this area. I know it's fairly new for you guys, but as far as Apex goes, we've done, a couple thousand ports across the state. We're throughout the Northeast and down in North and South Carolina. But as far as this area specifically, not too sure about publicly accessible chargers. But I know these dealerships are being required to put these in because they're producing more and more electric vehicles, and they won't actually deliver new vehicles unless these dealerships are up to code with their requirements on ports and level two, level three, et cetera.
Of course, the rapid chargers, presume are more rapid, but what is the difference in charging times?
So for like level two chargers goes up to about 19 kilowatts, that's where the cutoff is. And then once you get above that, you've got like 50, 100, 150, those will charge your car within a half an hour to an hour versus, your standard 7 kilowatt charger is like 8 hours from empty, full charge. Pretty quick.
And are the connectors all uniform? Can a person select which
type? For the most part, yes. Tesla's the little kind of anomaly there. They have their own standard plug, which now all these manufacturers are actually signing a contract with them and switching to the NACS plug, NACS. Right now, the standard plug is the J1772, which most vehicles have currently, but now all these big manufacturers are switching over to this NACS plug, which will be pretty uniform across the board.
Are there any special fire safety considerations?
Other than, us?
Like separating the charger from other vehicles that might be fully charged and at risk for having a battery fire, or from the building itself in the event of
DC
fast chargers and a battery fire?
Not to my understanding.
for raising that question, though. You know, I do know the post office won't allow mailing of lithium batteries. I know there are a number of shippers who won't ship lithium batteries. How much safety risk is there in the vehicle?
In my experience, you know, we've had very little issues as far as, you know, anything with batteries exploding or along those lines. It's, I've been with Apex for 3 years now doing EV charging, and from all the way from site visits to now in project management. So we're very confident in the technology and our installations.
Did you say that there's already a charging station on site?
Yes, there's a level 2 charger there.
And that didn't require any kind of approval. And granted, this is all, as you said a couple of times, new to us, but that didn't require any kind of approval.
The state says that they all require permits, so it would have required a permit. And we did not have a permit that I know of, but I did research on it to double check.
So at the existing, which is there, we'll just go with that. There's 2 ports, charging ports. Then the CP6000 would add an additional 2 charging ports. Okay.
Have you or Apex done any development in the West New York area, or is this the first dealership?
Yeah, we did the AAA building and Amherst. We installed, I believe, 6 level 2 charge point chargers and 2 DC fast chargers there. We've been in Rochester, mostly, you know, central to upstate New York, to a little bit Massachusetts, Vermont, Connecticut, New Jersey, and then down to East Coast as well.
Any other questions?
Well, I would just suggest that with any motion that's made, that included in there be the fact that the 2 that were put in without an existing permit.
Perfect.
That work with the building inspector so that a proper permit can be filed, so that it's on record, so that we know where it is, and that it's, you know, properly reviewed and make sure there's no issues. Okay.
Before we move on to motions, you installed these at other dealerships and said that Honda, the manufacturer, required this dealership to be up to their code. Do you have a copy of what their code is that you'd be able to provide to us or the building inspector? Because it may answer some questions that we have in regards to fire safety and other issues, battery storage, whatever.
Yeah.
But is that something that you can provide to the building inspector?
I'm sure that's something we can track down. I don't have it, you know, currently. It usually goes straight to the dealership, and when we work with this, is we got this job through Humerit, so they're, you know, each manufacturer has certain requirements just on number of ports and types of ports they have on the property.
I understand, and I expect you to say what you said as far as that you're hired by the dealership. But as Mr. Cajun mentioned, contingency, I think I would also like to consider a contingency to have a copy of those codes, yep. So that we can, because it may help us to develop our own town code for a future charging station. If the work has been done already, we can utilize it.
The reality is you're probably going to be here at some point, again, or at least contact the building inspector to put in more, and it will make it a lot easier for us. Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion on the comment?
So regarding the planning board file 4023, I move to recommend that the town board approve the presented plot plan and authorize the building permit to install five points CP6000 off of existing service for dealership use, along with the installation of ChargePoint Express Plus DCFC for dealership use, as well as installation of new 800A service entrance to power DCFC. All chargers located in the parking lot of the dealership are strictly for use of the business.
Per the plan received on 12/22/23, based on the following conditions and stipulations. All public notices have been filed. This is a type 2 seeker action based on the short EAF, and a negative declaration was made 1/12/24. Use of the charges will be strictly for the dealership based on requirements from HUD. Well, do we need to add? I just want to ask the board.
Dr. Bennett, it's a type 1
seeker action. Oh, apologies. This is a type 1 seeker action based on the short EAF, and a negative declaration was made 1/12/24. Use of the charges will be strictly for the dealership based on requirements from HUD. Do you need to add statement about compliance?
Conforming to the state requirements.
Yeah, so.
And adding the existing charges.
So then the other statement would be that the charges should be installed consistent with state guidelines.
And they offer also from the admission that applicant will facilitate providing a copy of Honda's code to the building inspector regarding the charging station.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. The defendant, the existing charges, there you go. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the question? Okay, there will be none. All in favor, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by saying nay. There being all the ayes heard, I don't think my time is out enough. But good luck.
Thank you.
Over the field. We will appreciate your help and support and figuring out what the difference.
Yep. So, thank you. Thank you.
And our last item is Birdsong. And we're looking at
good evening once again, Chairman Kravinsky and members of the planning board. Sean Hopkins on behalf of the applicant, Birdsong Lakes LLC, which is owned by Dave Capretto of Forest Homes. Also with me is Jason Burford from GPI. As you recall, we also presented this project to you during your meeting on December 14th. And it's the result of taking a big step backward, meaning originally what we were showing when it was last presented was on part two, a CMO. It was not particularly well received. So over the course of the summer, we took a bigger look at the big picture, and ultimately said, let's come back and actually really show what the actual build-out of the remainder of the subdivision is. And that includes changing that previously proposed CMO to a traditional single-family home layout, which will back up to the existing single-family homes, including those along Rockville Lane, and then taking what's denoted as parts 4 and 5, making that a CMO, which we filed a petition for rezoning, and as part of that, including the very expensive work that's always been envisioned. Number one, the extension of Birdsong Parkway as a true parkway, with the median and all the other related amenities, and then the private pump station. We're also showing part 8, which would be the last phase, as a CMO. You did ask us to submit a phasing plan, which we've done. It's a conceptual phasing plan. But part two, which is now traditional single family, rather than CMO, would be phase one. The CMO would be phase two, including the extension of Birdsong Parkway. And then the last would be phase three, which of course is the previously proposed smaller CMO in close proximity to the intersection of 2 and 1 in Freeman. All we're asking you to do this evening is one, what I believe is a simple thing, is to commence the environmental review pursuant to the State Environmental Quality Review Act. There was some discussion relative to SEAKER during your December 14th meeting, but I think maybe it wasn't 100% clear whether or not you had actually taken that action. And of course, the SEAKER regulations expressly state that soliciting environmental review from involved agencies and input as early as possible makes sense. I think we all, again, share that common goal. That's all we're simply asking you to do this evening. And if there's any questions about more details about what we previously presented, of course we do that, but I want to be respectful of your time.
Uh,
Just one question.
Sure.
And that is, in terms of, you know, beginning to seek lead agency status, I would actually, you know, we would want to, you know, we've seen things that come very close to segmentation here, and we would want to be sure that what you're proposing is, in fact, not that thing which leads to.
Right, so
you see, counsel, to an all cost avoid, my impression right now is that we were going to be looking at lead agency status in part five.
Well, see, my concern about that is segmentation. I think what SEACR states is you want to, you know, do environmental review the entire action.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
It's, I mean, it's the board's choice. I think my intent in wanting to do part five was simply to get the board to start making decisions on this. We've looked at this many times. The applicants changed the project many times, so it's created some confusion. We agree, I know we agreed on part five. I'd have to go back and take a look at the minutes to look at 2, 4, and 8. And Sean, I thought eight was the CMO at the corner of Freeman.
It is, yeah. So what was?
Yeah, and that's already been approved.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So that's.
But we did. I believe the environmental review wants to be done right, pursuant to the finding statement that was issued 20 some years ago,
yeah.
Whatever it was.
It changed a lot.
Right. But we're comfortable with this layout for the. No, what we're trying to do is build up the entire site.
Sean, are you still doing a CMO for part eight?
Yeah, we currently still showing the CMO.
Okay. Okay.
This would be essentially, we would be seeking lead agency for an updated version of our.
You got it.
Entire.
Yes, we agree with that.
Okay, I don't have any problems with that.
And that's how we submitted the documentation. I think it's in everyone's best interest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We juggle three a little bit, we juggle there. It becomes a different end. So let me ask board members if they have any questions.
No questions.
You know, this project, it's not a reflection on you. I mean, it's been.
We were here.
I've been involved for, you know, so many years. And this thing has changed hands a couple times. You know, pieces going here and there. And it's a beautiful area. And everybody seems to be doing the right thing. It's just that there's been so many changes.
I know.
Borrowing from Peter to give to Paul and back and forth and all that. So be patient with the board.
Oh, yeah.
As well as we're going to be patient with you in regard to this, because it is a huge project. It is a huge piece of property. It's a shining star in Orchard Park as far as it being a scale community and everything. So I don't have anything to say other than that, but we look forward to whatever we work out as we go down the line with this.
A 1 mile square.
Yes.
No, it is.
It's huge.
I appreciate the clarity you guys have brought to us with regards to the project itself. We get a lot of gray areas.
Yeah.
What is 2 going to be? What is 4 and 5? What are 4 and 5 going to be? I don't even remember which number was it. What one went from 23 to 5 up on Transit Road?
Right there. 7.
You got 7. So you guys brought some clarity. This board member regarding the direction of the project, there's a whole lot of things that make sense. And this board member thinks it makes sense for us to see the lead agency status. That's my comment. Just a comment on the motion.
I have a question then for the board. Should we, in terms of motion, change the motion to
absolutely
see? Coordinate a review of the entire project and then a motion not to part 5 at all.
I would so exactly. We all seem to be in agreement on that. There's a consensus in there if it's not part 5.
Agree.
So we'll go to the three lead agency status for the updated proposal.
Yep.
Entire updated proposal?
Yep. So I guess it's your motion.
Well, I'm trying to make a motion. Yes. I'm prepared to make a motion, Mr. Chairman. Regarding planning board file 3623, I move to recommend that the planning board seek lead agency status for this unlisted seeker action
doing a coordinated review of the entire updated project.
I second that.
Could I add one comment? I just want to be clear. It's a type one action. Or it has to be a type one action because the original project's a type one. I think you guys wanted this type one. That's the goal.
Don't confuse us.
Sorry.
I like ones where we tell me what I think. Motion made in second.
Okay, those in favor of completing the setup for the updated seeker review of the entire Herzog project, please indicate so much.
Aye.
And those opposed, please say aye. There being all the ayes heard, a motion is carried. It'll be good to see this come together.
Thank you. We're always going to be back on this in March after the 30-day comment period.
Chairman, I would move for,
how are you?
I thought for sure.
There's a number of students out there, and students that need to be signed, and also city.
Oh, really?
Someone came up.